Welcome to 2F08, Fear of Flying. Original air date, December 18th, 1994. Right before Christmas, then. This is David Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
Mark Kirkland, director of this episode.
And this is Matt Groening, intern. You see, I try to mix it up on every commentary. That's my couch guest. My blackboard.
Very good. Very good. This, I think, is probably the only time in my own history on the show that I ever used the super long title. It just worked out for this episode that the right length of it, by the time we cut it down, involved using the entire title. You'll see, actually, I think in Sideshow Bob Roberts has like the shortest title you can possibly have. It like goes right into the TV set. You just go through the clouds and into the TV. This is the opposite end of the spectrum where it's the longest, goes on forever couch gag. See? And it was Mike and Al who used a lot of these because they had a lot of short shows. But I always tended to err on the side of length. I could never get everything into a show that I wanted to say, except in this show. For some reason, it worked out perfectly to be really fast.
Well, the other reason why we do short main titles these days is because our time has been taken away from us for more commercials, so we try not to waste time on stuff you've already seen.
It's been a fight that we've had, you know, even from back 10 years ago, where the network comes and says, we want to put more commercials in and give you less time to tell a story. And I'll tell you guys, it's the best jokes that go when you have to cut down, because the funniest, craziest jokes are very freestanding. They're not generally part of the story. And so we have to lose some of the best stuff whenever they try and cram more commercials. But we've been very good at The Simpsons to fight off that greedy point of view and to fight for our time that we need to tell stories with the proper depth and the proper amount of emotion and enough jokes and all that stuff. I love these nasty jokes they play on Mo, and for some reason he's very good-natured in this particular opening.
Oh, jeez!
And then Homer does one little thing and they hate him and ban him from the bar. This episode was written by David Sachs, a lovely, lovely man. Did a lot of good stuff on this show.
Yeah! Oh, come on, everybody.
You know how this story came about in the first place?
No one knows.
I think David came in with this idea of generally Homer going, Marge going to a psychiatrist for one reason or another. And we sort of structured this other stuff all around it. In case you were ever wondering about Smithers, that's another clue.
And over the course of the show, we did not write a Bible for the show, so there was no backstory for Marge's dad.
Right.
Or, you know, or a lot of the characters. And so sometimes I would come and look at these scripts and go, oh.
That's the thing. Yeah.
You know, I forget. You know, like the characters that were there from the very beginning, but they were never given last names, and suddenly, what? That's the name? So.
And therapy is something that's near and dear, psychiatrists and stuff, to the hearts of many writers, many people in Hollywood.
Yes.
It was kind of good to do a show that kind of...
Actually, these commentaries are kind of therapy for
that's
people
all you
work
therapy.
On these shows.
That's
yes.
right.
Group therapy.
It is.
Because, you know, talk after therapy. The tape ends on every one of these commentaries, we all hug.
Sometimes we hug during the commentaries. We have to stop tape. Obviously, Homer's looking for a new bar, and this is a very amazing thing. We were able to get the entire cast of Cheers to reunite... And there's Kelsey Grammer as Dr. Crane. But that's these are the real actors.
Carl, I'll make you a bet. If this affects my major league Ted comeback, Danson. I'll sell the bar.
Woody, give me a beer.
I think you've had...
And this led to that actual
my chiropractor
animated show, Cheers, Baby.
That's right. That's right.
I'll kill you.
And they were great to kind of do this version where we actually see Norm really have some problems with his drinking, and of course Homer runs out. Now the odd thing here is that Kelsey Grammer, who does our show many, many, many times, a Sideshow Bob Roberts, he's a fantastic friend of the show. He always says yes when we ask him. We couldn't quite work out the timing to get him to do Fraser Crane on Cheers. So he's the one character
the
that
one
doesn't
character
speak.
Make it.
But all the rest, you know, Rhea Perlman and Woody Harrelson and just everybody came in. John Ratzenberger, all great. This was a joke that I did, which is just quite insane, but I enjoy seeing it every time.
Yes.
My name is Guy Incognito.
It just happens to be a guy who looks like Homer and talks in that very stilted way.
With a name like that.
With a name like it just happens. He gets
guy
in a lot
incognito.
Of trouble. We haven't brought Incognito, Guy Incognito back enough. I love the animation on the dog there, Mark.
Yes,
very nicely
yeah.
done. Very nicely done. I do like the name there of that. The darkness of that bar is great.
That, by the way, was my girlfriend Elizabeth's favorite gag in the whole series.
Was a little was black the, boxer?
There's, you know, that dog has a puffy tail.
Oh, she likes that.
She
I
loves
see.
That gag.
Wow.
And that dog.
We've done that quite a bit in the show where Homer's attention is pulled off, often by an animal like a squirrel or a bunny, and he goes running off. That was particularly nicely done. I love the dog legs on that.
We need a pilot. Pronto, who wants to fly to the Windy City?
Well, I'll go.
Hey. Yeah, I'm your man. Hey. Conditions are a little windy.
And this is all based on real pilot behavior. It was heavily researched. They're all wimps. Now, pilots are amazing. Airline pilots, I have such respect. They're calm. They are always calm. And even in the worst moments, they never say, well, we seem to be going down. You know, it's like that's about the most you get out of them, you know?
I hate it when they say that.
Dear Lord. That's about all you'll... That's the last thing you... And in fact, this character actually looks a lot like them and behaves a lot like them.
You know, because they are calm, when you hear them announcing on the intercom, you're always like, wait, what do they really mean?
What are they really? I know. I know.
Well,
you
flight
can't
attendants,
really tell.
Please strap themselves in. you know, what does that mean? We're going down.
That's right. That's right. When you see the stewardess sit down, I'm not happy about that. That was very nicely done, the plane landing gear retraction and crash. I'm
prepared to. By the way, I was flying back from Dallas once, back to L.A., and the plane was starting to come down, and I just saw mountains around, and I went, this is not right, this is not right, there's something wrong here, there's something wrong, and I was really panicked.
Where were you coming into?
LAX, right?
In LAX, yes,
but mountains, you know, and I said, no, this is not right, where's the ocean? We were landing at Burbank.
Oh, you didn't know that.
No.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. Burbank is like right next to huge mountains and like 10,000 foot mountains. So it really is. And I watch planes coming out of Burbank and they get at these odd angles and just barely make it over. It's an exciting place. Whereas LAX is just over the water. It's very simple, you know.
Fantastic, Dan.
And great acting and your direction on your part, Mark.
This is mostly an episode of like smaller behavior again, and the story is kind of calm and simple, and so we do have a tendency to write these speeches for Homer or speeches for Marge that involve all this acting, and it's really fun to do that, where things are a little bit more internal in that sense.
This is going to sound weird, but I love listening to our cast. I love listening to Harry and Hank and Julie and Yardley and Nancy and, but not Dan, no, and Dan. No, because in a way it feels like listening to a musical composition. They're so good, and there's so many hills and valleys to their little roller coasters of performances. I love it.
Watching them record is also like watching a little chamber group, because they do it, they're
virtuoso.
Not, yeah, they're just coming right in on each other's lines and, you know, when they're supposed to, and
it's a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to direct actors of this caliber, because they're always funny in different ways in every take. And, you know, one of the things about The Simpsons that I think makes The Simpsons so much fun to listen to is Matt is saying, that's all accurate, by the way, but that's only on Virgin. is the fact that each of these voices is not only doing great acting, but the voice itself is interesting and funny in some way.
And incredibly high energy.
They're great high energy, but they're cartoon voices. They're exaggerated just enough, yet they sound completely real. When I watch other cartoons where people just use their normal voices, I'm always so disappointed, because the classic cartoons always have very distinctive sounds. And every one of our voices has a hilarious, distinctive sound. And again, you know, we're talking about in the terms of Hank and Dan and Harry. They're doing so many voices.
Yeah.
Tens of voices. 10, 20 voices, and each one distinct, each one funny. And it just infuses the entire show with this incredible talent and this incredible sound.
You know,
the sound that they then have this amazing control over at the same time. So we're very, very lucky. That's obviously a reference from Home Alone. Macaulay Culkin. Macaulay Culkin. Oh, that's the way I always...
But I'd rather not.
Permit me to solve the mystery. Your mother has a fear of flying.
So much for the days when I could say, at least my mother's normal.
Well, everybody's got a fear of something.
Not everybody.
Sock puppets!
Burp, burp!
Love the way she did that.
Sure as sugar.
And this is a very nice performance by Julie Kavner of... And great acting, again, from Mark, using her voice as a guide. And Marge really looks wonderfully crazy, but not over the top, you know, very kind of perfectly real.
This, I have to mention, was I had a new AD, a new assistant director on this, Matt Nastic, who has gone on to become one of our fantastic directors. And, we both put in what we could, but Matt put in fantastic acting into these characters.
Some really nice stuff.
We liked the script a lot when we got this one.
Wow, that's very strange to bake the cake with the frosting.
That's part of her mental problem. It's really, it's very subtle, but it's there.
There's a little bag under Marge's eye.
Yeah, because she's not sleeping and she's stressed out.
It's a subtle thing that we do, but it just occasionally it creates that I'm nutty.
Listen, look. Listen here. The reason why the characters are such are designed so simply is so that you can just add one line or just change the shape of the eyes and you completely change their emotions.
Yeah,
and that's intentional.
Also,
in fact, you'll notice that Simpsons are the simplest designed characters in the entire show.
Yeah. Marge also has that 1,000-yard stare. She's not really focusing on anything right there. My favorite speech in the show.
Children against fathers. Neighbors against me. You don't have to pay something.
It is really fun to watch, you know, just the drawing on The Simpsons and see how, you know, just the tiniest subtle thing, you know, it's a study in minimalism and elegance because it's still elegant. It's simple but elegant. And the thing that amazes me about animators and you guys who draw is that you can take a line, one line, and put it in, and it just has to have the right curve to it to give the right emotion. I can't draw a straight line even with a ruler, and I'm always amazed at that kind of control that you can create such a subtle emotion with the
animal. The thing with a straight line and a ruler is you keep the ruler still.
Believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference. I always have like a hiccup somewhere in there. Serious nerve problems.
Pass me another hunk of co-pilot.
Also, this is a joke that always cracks me up. It's not really a joke. The idea that they've got cable and rabbit ear antenna. You know, it's like, that is like a signifier of TVs from like the 1950s.
Yes, probably. Yeah, maybe the 60s at the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all, and if you have them, they're bent.
it's not even a good set of rabbit ear. This is a lovely piece between Homer and Lisa.
Where did this come from, David?
We just wrote that in the room, and we cracked ourselves up doing it. The way it happens in a room is that someone will say a line, and then someone will have a rejoinder to that line as if we're having the conversation, and then we'll all laugh and go, oh, that's good, and then we'll take it from there and build it. And you just hear people jumping on top of each other with, you know, conversations for the characters, and you can often, that almost happened, the bean thing almost happened in real time, so it was really fun to that was a moment that was, sometimes moments are excruciating and take hours to write. That one happened pretty quickly. I also must say that one of my favorite jokes is I love that Skinner's on the cover of the magazine that he's trying to hide behind. Never saw that joke before. I like that.
Anne Bancroft?
Anne Bancroft is one of my favorite actresses of all time.
I'm sorry, doctor. He's just afraid to blame
me. One of the reasons I wanted to become a film director is The Graduate, which I think is one of the best performances all around, everyone in it. Everyone is the best they ever were in that movie. And Anne is probably the best of the best in that movie. She is so hilarious. and sexy, you know, in that film, and brilliant. And so I've always had like a huge worship thing with her. And I cast her in my film Heartbreakers with Sigourney Weaver and Gene Hackman. And I had a great time directing her on this. We had a great time on the movie. And when she came to do this episode, coming along with her was her husband, who just happens to be Mel Brooks. And they've been together, I mean, since the mid-60s or something. It's an amazing marriage. And I said, boy, you brought Mel with you. And she looked at me and she goes, I can't get rid of him. They were hilariously funny. And then while I was directing her, Mel was sitting next to me. And he was whispering things to me, you know, because Mel is super high energy, always hands on. And so he's directing her through me a little bit. He says, you don't mind, do you? And I said, it's okay, as long as I can sit next to you at your next movie and direct. And he actually did. He let me come to his set of his next movie, and I whispered a few things, and then security brought me outside really fast.
We had a temp track before, and we animated that character, the psychiatrist, with a temp track that was actually very good. I don't know who did it. Maybe Tress did it.
But I can't remember who the temp psychiatrist was.
And then after the animatic, Deanne Bancroft came in, and because of her new intonations and inflections, we actually redesigned the character a little bit.
Isn't that weird how some voices just don't sound
don't match
right
the right
some
design. Designs? Yes, yeah, that's exactly right.
We added the split glasses to give her a little bit more maturity. The little streak of silver in her hair. I actually do like this track a lot, too. It just has, without strain, she's got the right feel of a psychiatrist.
Stunning actress. I mean, as good as it gets. And she was absolutely amazing, like I said, right away to direct and completely understood it. Can do the reality, can do the comedy. Amazing timing, amazing cadence. And as I said, a joy to work with. I remember I called her at home before she was going to come in. And as a lot of actors are when we hire them for the show and they're fans of the show, they want to do it. They're a little nervous. They haven't done animation before and they want to know what it's going to be like. And I always promise them it's going to be the best experience acting that they had because it's so fast, so much fun, and there's so much freedom because you don't have to worry about lighting and rolling cameras and waiting for speed. Speed comes a lot quicker, meaning the moment when we can start working and acting.
Danger! My hooks are flailing wildly!
Hooks are flailing wildly. Makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, this was a huge show for me when I was a kid. Lost in Space.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't Star Trek, but it was still some fun. It was still absolutely some fun.
I was obsessed with the theme to it.
It's a great theme. And I had two different ones. You remember?
I know. That's my point. Well, forget it then.
I ruined everything. I recorded them. Did you record
them?
Yes,
I recorded them.
I still have my reel-to-reel tape of nothing but TV themes from that time period.
Me too.
Did you? We got to compare them.
I love you. I had no one to share it with.
We'll do that.
You want to come over?
Let's come over. We got to listen to them. I had like the name of the game was a great theme.
What
that
day?
90-minute show. What day?
Well, you come over.
Oh, okay. We'll figure that out.
No.
Let's not take the time. This is costing thousands of dollars a minute.
Doing a bit.
Oh, okay. Saturday.
I'm busy.
That's the bit he was hoping for right there.
It was worth it.
He never lets me come over.
Boy, we're pathetic. You know?
We are. It's very sad. By the way, I was going to say, I love the design of baby Marge here. Young Marge. It's so funny that it's basically the same head on this body and the same dress. It's just great. I just find it hilarious.
On this episode could have been a little too staid except for the fantasy sequence, the flashbacks, and things like that. This is fantastic.
So, who wants a pre-flight cookie? Fig Newtons? Hydrox?
That was back in the days when airlines offered.
Yeah, and Hydrox. They had a lot of Hydrox on them.
My father was a stewardess.
Marge.
How horrible.
What a great line.
I know. It was a very, very strange little thing we've done here.
They are.
One of my favorite overall gags in this is just how threatened Homer is that Marge is in therapy.
You might even
it's very observational.
Yeah, because he thinks that any therapist, rightfully so, is going to tell him to, you know, tell her to leave him.
People you've been close to, don't you say...
You better not squeal.
It's happened to me every time. Anytime I've been with a woman, she goes to a psychiatrist, she comes home and packs her bag. Happens every time, so I don't recommend it. So that's sort of what this is based on. I was going to say, so I called Ann Bancroft at home. I'm glad I remembered. And says, you know, what's it going to be like and all this kind of stuff. And she goes, how do you direct? And I said, it's really simple, because if you cast the right person, you're basically saying slower, faster, a little more intensity here. You've already hired someone that has so much of what you're looking for that you don't need to overdirect them. And she says, good, good, because I don't like that fancy stuff. So it's like, you know, great actors, they don't need an enormous amount. So much of it is casting, is knowing the right person to cast. And then tweaking them just here and there is how I believe you get the best performances.
Some of them don't like to be tweaked. But.
Well, you know, it depends. You know, hopefully they're lonely and they won't mind the tweaking. When Mel came in for this is also how we got Mel to come in the other show that he did, because I asked him right straight there. He says, you got to do the show, too. And he was thrilled to do it. And we talk about that in another episode. You'll have to look for that one.
We should do commentaries on the commentaries.
We need to do. There'll be another secret
commentary.
In
another 10 years. Remember I said that? I was wrong. I meant to say that.
This was an ending that I wanted to do here, because this to me is pure Simpsons. We've gotten her over her fear of flying, and Homer's calmly telling her. This is actually something that I would do with somebody who was afraid of flying, or if I was nervous, someone would say this to me. That's just the engine struggling. And there you go. We get someone who's not afraid of flying onto a plane, and we
have an accident.
That's right. Everyone else dies on that plane except Homer and Marge, by the way. But I decided to cut that part out. It seemed to be a bit of a downer. So there you go. Fear of flying. Everything you need to know about therapy.
Yes.
And Anne Bancroft. Lovely job. And Ted Danson, Woody, Rhea, John. Oh, George Wendt, who's also just a lovely guy and was so nice to do the show. I've worked with his wife on the old It's Gary Shandling show. And she was also in Heartbreaker, so I'm big fans of the Wentz. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say, Matt? How about Sunday?
Read the Erica Jong book from which this.
I don't remember which came first, our title or hers. I'm not, just not clear. Never ever clear.